Chapter 17. A Father's Request. After so short a time in the Eight, the Legion was readying itself to leave, and Leman Russ called his war council to session. The Einherjar gathered in the chamber of the Grand Annulus, a monumental feasting hall high in the Valgard. Its floor was decorated with an immense round inlay depicting the emblems of the 13 great companies of the Vilka Fenrika, an adaptation of the king's stones Fenrisian tribes carried from land to land. Russ had insisted the annulus be finished before any of the Valgard was completed. It comprised movable segments meters across, each inlaid with a badge of a wolf lord. They centred on a circular stone bearing Leman Russ's own tribal symbol. Some had been removed and replaced recently. The rest of the hall was not yet done. Raw mountain stone had been roughed into blocks and shapes that would take statues and relief panels. Archways, niches, and other decorations were but simple, chiselled outlines. One day, Russ wanted the chamber to be the ritual heart of the Vilka Fenrika. For now, it remained a cold, unfriendly place. Its entry was sealed with a simple, temporary ceramite blast door. Wheeled scaffolding towers waited in place for workers to return. Tools were neatly racked where artworks would go. Opaque plastic sheeting covered works in progress. A somber atmosphere prevailed. There was little talk as the Einherjar waited for their Primarch. The chamber swayed slightly with the motion of the world. The room would never be still. Under the vicious tugging of the wolf's eye, the fang was the wavering cap of a child's top, always on the brink of falling. The door slid aside rapidly, banging into the wall recess that housed it. Leman Russ strode in, Bjorn his shadow. Fewer eyes narrowed at the warrior's presence than in the past, but they still narrowed.
"I'm a little late," said Russ.
Across his shoulders he carried the spear of the Emperor, bearing the sacred, if little liked, weapon crosswise, his wrists hooked over the shaft, like the son of a hersier heading to his first skirmish. He was too mighty for a mortal room to fully contain, and though physically the hall was vast enough to accommodate 1,000 Vilka, it seemed that the Primarch's essence overfilled it, like a fjord spilling torrents into the sea as the tide goes out. Around him buzzed the promise of slaughter. His arrival excited the Einherjar. Images of blood and battle flitted through their minds, twisting their lips into involuntary snarls. Russ stalked to the centre of the annulus and stood upon the rondel bearing his name badge, the symbol of the Legion, a red wolf's head on a field of grey, his boots either side of the wolf's muzzle. Silently he acknowledged each of his warriors. He spoke no words to them, but his ice-blue eyes said that he saw them and that he valued them. The hearts of the wolves filled with pride at this honour.
"The time for feasting is over," said Leman Russ. "I have learned what I came here to learn. I hear the core of Rumor's Raven echoing around the halls."
He looked to Grimnir. During the ritual, the Huskarl and his men had heard nothing, and they were alarmed to see Russ's wounds when he returned to them. Russ had told no one what occurred.
"I will tell you," he continued. "The 8 Goti I took with me to the Crackguard, including Kavar, my advisor and friend, are dead. They perished, sending me into the Underverse, where even I, a Primarch of the Emperor, may not easily go. Within the world of whites and ghosts, I was given the host challenge by a thing not of this universe. Let it be known that I succeeded. While I quested in that realm, our Goti were assailed by the whites of the enemy and paid for the knowledge I gained with their lives."
He swung the spear from his shoulder and slammed the haft into the floor. The crack of metal on stone echoed from the walls.
"This is what I learned. With this weapon that my father gave me, I shall bring the traitor to his knees. And although I may not kill him, and we may all perish in the attempt, I will bring him pain that shall undo him in the days to come.
Again he looked at all his sons. His gaze was so fierce, not one could hold it.
My warriors, my Einherjar, this might be the last hunt of the Vilka Fenrika. Through many wars, I have commanded you, and you have never failed me. Many strange and terrible foes I have ordered you to face, and you have done so without question or hesitation.
You are our Primarch, said Ogvai, Ogvai Helmshot. We would follow you into hell if you asked.
Russ looked sternly at Helmshot.
Yes, I am your Primarch. I am your Lord. I am your Gene Father. From my body, the gifts my father bestowed upon you were taken. For this, though you each had a mortal sire, I claim the right to call you my sons.
We are your sons, said Baldir Vidunson. I have no other father.
He spat on the floor. His comment elicited growls of agreement from the others.
I love you as my sons, said Russ. But above my affection for you, beyond what I am and who I am your king. And I am your king because you chose me to be so. Forget for a moment that we are Legiones Astartes. Remember instead that we are the lords of Fenris.
He pointed at Hval Redblade.
You, Hval, are the match of the great heroes of all the sagas.
He turned to Lufvin close-handed.
You, Lufvin, are a more generous ring-giver than any of the finest kings of history. Ogvai is thoughtful. Baldir is bold. You are a company of warriors that no lord could dream of. You outmatch in spirit and in mettle the best of all my brother's legions, and I am proud to be your lord. I should bend my knee to you.
He took a deep breath.
I have a purpose. For a long time I assumed that purpose on your behalf, sending you into battle with little thought for the blood spilled and both eyes on the glory that would come.
And we were glad to obey,
shouted Yorin Bloodhowl.
Aye,
called the others. They hammered their fists on their chest plates and howled.
Yes,
said Russ. A feral light burned in his eyes.
Yes, you were. But did I have the right to demand you lay down your lives for me?
My lord, said Amlodi Skarsen Skarsenson,
as you say, you are our king.
A king, said Russ thoughtfully. A king. What is a king but a man who rules over other men by their consent? According to our custom, no king of any tribe has the right to command his warriors into a battle they cannot win. No king can force obedience from his subjects if they no longer have his trust. It is our way in the fire and the ice to elect our leaders and depose them when they fail. I never forget that I was a stranger in this world. I am a foundling lord, imposed on you.
The wolves shook their heads.
We chose you,
a rune priest said.
What other choice was there? Said Russ. Fight with me or be killed by me. This is how the Russ came to rule half of Fenris. After Alaxis, I vowed never to be the blind executioner again. I am no dumb axe swung in another's fist. I will fight Horus.
He slapped his palm against his breast.
But I will challenge him because I will it, not because my father says so. My brothers wished for me to remain on Terra. I have made my choice. You must make yours. I will not order you to fight him. If you would rather stay here and see what the war brings, then so be it. If you would rather return to Terra to stand with Dawn, Jagatai, and Sanguinius in the Allfather's defense, I will not stop you. Perhaps your lives may be better used there. I am no Goti. I cannot see the future. He smiled sadly. But I will ask you to follow me into the heart of the traitor's armies. Today, Ogvai Ogvai Helmschut, I am not commanding you, but asking you to follow me into hell. You said you would. Would you still?
Helmschut bared his fangs.
There is no other answer to give. I say yes, and I,
called another.
I will also follow you.
So they spoke affirmatively. Not one said otherwise. Russ's grim face was suffused with pride. They howled and swore wild oaths, working themselves up into a frenzy.
Enough,
Russ said. The howls ceased immediately. The hall fell silent.
Then to the business of Red Slaughter. Thanks to Malkador's knights errant, we know where Horus is.
A cartolith snapped on, bathing the dim hall in spectral light.
The rune marks placed within the vengeful spirit by Bror Tyrefinger mark out its vulnerable areas for destruction and will aid our warriors in finding their way through its halls. But they had an additional purpose I commanded Bror keep from the rest of Malkador's agents. Within each inscription was a rune of power, given to him by K'var. These markings allow us to track my brother's ship through the Underverse. At present, it is here, said Leman Russ.
He thrust his spear into the hololithic map, holding the spear's tip unwavering beneath a bright star, appearing to support it on the point. Closer inspection revealed it to be a system of common type, not one but three stars, a main sequence primary, with a binary of red dwarf secondaries orbiting far out. It was a system of immense bounds, but only modest importance. It was nowhere, but close to places that mattered, the kind of system where a warlord might bide his time before launching a major attack.
At this place, called Tresolian, said Russ, we shall bring the War Master to heel.